In this shiur, we'll continue to discuss some of the halachot regarding candle lighting on Erev Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch writes that there is a potential problem of Tosefet Ora. Tosefet Ora means as follows, that if one person has already lit Shabbat candles, then a second person may not light Shabbat candles in that same location. The reason for that is that Hadlakat Neirot should be that which creates light for the room. Since one person has already lit candles, the second person who would then come and light candles thereafter is not actually creating light in the room. They are just adding light to an already existing light called Tosefet Ora, meaning the addition of light to already existing light. And therefore, the second person doing so does not fulfill a mitzvah. And therefore, the bracha could potentially be a bracha levatala. And therefore, if you have one family staying by another, the visiting family is staying in the host family's home. The woman of the home, of the hostess, is lighting candles. If she lights candles in the home, then the visiting family may not then light candles in that home because there is no mitzvah and she may not make a bracha. However, if the woman visiting would like to very much to light candles, even after the hostess has done so, she may do so, although since she is not fulfilling a mitzvah in doing so, she may not recite a bracha. That could be a bracha levatala. It's important to recognize that Ashkenazim follow a different approach, and they would in fact light candles in the home even after the hostess has already lit candles. So therefore, if a Sephardi family is hosting an Ashkenazi family in their home, the Sephardi family may in fact, and should perhaps, set up candles for the visiting Ashkenazi family to light, because the visiting Ashkenazi family does indeed light candles with a bracha after someone has already lit candles. According to the Rama, the Tosefet Ora still qualifies as a mitzvah, and a bracha may be recited upon it. In that situation, there is only one quirk. If the host family is Sephardi and the visiting family is Ashkenazi, so the host family would admittedly light candles because it's their home, and the visiting Ashkenazi family may indeed light candles after the Sephardi host family does, again, because Ashkenazim will make a bracha on Tosefet Ora because the Rama assumes there is a mitzvah in doing so. However, the only quirk would be if the Ashkenazi visiting family gets to the candles first. If you have candles set up both for the hostess and for the guest, and the Ashkenazi guest gets there first to light candles and makes a bracha on it, as Ashkenazim should do, the hostess, who's Sephardi, now has a dilemma because she's going to come to light candles and there are already candles lit in her home, and therefore, if she would like, she may light. However, she may not make a bracha on her candle lighting, despite the fact that she is the hostess, because she would only be making a bracha on Tosefet Ora, which the Shulchan Aruch assumes is not a bracha. It's very likely she should light, so as not to embarrass anybody, so nobody will ever know whether she lit or she didn't, or whether she made a bracha or she didn't, but the candle should be lit in that situation. However, it's important to note to not make a bracha after candles are already lit. There are many who have the practice that single girls also light candles in the home. This is not the generally accepted Sephardic practice. However, there's no problem in doing so. And many have the practice that we train young girls to do. This is part of the mitzvah of chinuch, the same way we train young men and young women to do all other mitzvot. So we should train young women to do this mitzvah, which is something they will do in their homes after they indeed get married. The only issue would be that if a young girl wants to light candles with her mother or after her mother has already lit candles in a Sephardic home, the young girl should not make a bracha on her own candles, because once the mother has already made a bracha on candles and lit candles in that home, the candles that the daughter then lights thereafter would only be Tosefet Ora, and therefore a bracha is not recited because it's not a mitzvah. It would perhaps be just a mitzvah of chinuch to teach the daughter to prepare her for her own life, but it would not be a mitzvah, and therefore no bracha is recited. Yilkut Yosef and many others, in fact, point out that nowadays we have another situation, a problem of Tosefet Ora. It's not only a machlok between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. There are other Ashkenazi poskim who adopt the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and assume that Tosefet Ora is in fact a problem. It's nowadays in their homes we have the electric lights. When electric lights are on, the candles that I light in my dining room do not add all that much light to the already existing situation. In fact, whether those candles are lit or not would be somewhat irrelevant to me in terms of trying to figure out how much light I need. I have my electric lights on, and therefore the candles should technically qualify as Tosefet Ora. So the Yilkut Yosef from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also, for Ashkenazim, encourage a person to try to light candles in the room with lights that are off. meaning if you're lighting candles in your dining room, so first turn the electric lights off so that when you light these Shabbat candles, they should be that which is providing light. The order and the sequence of events should therefore be as follows. A person should turn off the electric lights in the room in which they're lighting the candles. They should then recite the bracha, Asher Kedeshan b'mitzvotav v'tzivan l'hadlik ner et shel Shabbat, remembering that Sfaradim recite the bracha on candle lighting before lighting the candles. They should then light the Shabbat candles in the room with the lights off, so that the candles would then be providing the light for the room. After they've lit the Shabbat candles, they should then turn on the dining room electric lights, or whatever other room they're in. The reason for this is that you've accomplished many things. First of all, you've made the bracha on the candles when the room is in fact not being lit by electric light, and therefore the candles are not a problem of Tosefet Arah. Secondly, we've actually accomplished something far greater. In essence, the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot Chazal instituted for the purpose of Shalom Bayit. And our Shalom Bayit is generally accomplished not necessarily by the candles themselves, but by the electric lights that we have lit throughout the house. And therefore, what I've managed to do is to light the electric lights after having said the bracha on candle lighting in the way of incorporating the electric lights into the bracha. Meaning, the bracha that I make is now on both my Shabbat candles, which I've lit in the room with the lights off, as well as on the electric lights that I'm going to turn on thereafter. Meaning now my electric lights become part of the mitzvah, and my enhancement of Shalom Bayit with the electric lights, which is so much greater, is part of the bracha that I said before the entire thing. Remember that for Sfaradim, Shabbat does not begin immediately after the candles are lit, or even immediately after the match is put down. Rather, Shabbat begins after the process is complete, because we assume that's when it's convenient for Shabbat to begin. But as we discussed last week, onset of Shabbat can be postponed. So therefore, we assume that the process isn't complete if you have the electric lights off when you light Shabbat candles until you've then turned on the electric lights thereafter, such that you have the electric lights off, you make the bracha, you light your Shabbat candles, you then turn on the lights in the room, and Shabbat does not begin until the entire process is complete, and therefore it's not a problem at all. Push comes to shove. If you cannot turn off the electric lights in the room for whatever reason, we still assume that candle lighting is a mitzvah and a bracha is recited on it. It is a takana of Chazal. There are several reasons why it was made. The general reason was to try to add light to a dark situation, and therefore we try to shut off the electric lights when we can, so we can fulfill the mitzvah b'shleimuta in this proper way. However, push comes to shove, when those lights cannot be shut off, we would still make a bracha on the candles and light the candles. The same is true on the second night of Yom Tov. On the second night of Yom Tov, we have the practice of lighting candles, and they wrote Yom Tov. On the second night of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot. Now, at that point, you cannot, certainly not be able to shut off the lights because it's Yom Tov, and nonetheless, we assume that candles should be lit under those situations. If candles cannot be lit, there are no candles available, we can still fulfill the mitzvah with electric lights under certain situations. We assume that incandescent bulbs, meaning a bulb that has a tungsten filament that glows, is considered to be a fire for these purposes, and therefore if no candles are available, a person may fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat with an incandescent bulb, and may even make a bracha on that incandescent bulb, according to most poskim. If incandescent bulbs are not available, then the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat may be fulfilled with a CFL, a complex fluorescent light bulb, or an LED light bulb, but because there is nothing actually glowing in those light bulbs, we would not make a bracha in that situation. So, for example, if a person is in a hotel room or on a cruise or something like that, so they should ideally be having candles lit in their room. It's that room that they are renting. That room belongs to them for the duration of their stay, and therefore candles should be lit in the room. However, most hotels and cruises prohibit lighting any type of a fire in the room. It's part of the contract that the visitor signs when they check in. Therefore, it's completely forbidden to light actual candles in that room, certainly from a halachic perspective, and perhaps even if a person would light Shabbat candles in that room, they would not fulfill a mitzvah at all, because it would be a mitzvah haba'a ba'avera, a mitzvah that is accomplished through a prohibited activity. A person signed on that they would not light candles in that room, and then they're going and violating the contract that they already signed. It's a possible geneva theft, and therefore it would be a mitzvah that might be fulfilled through an avera and not a mitzvah at all. Under those circumstances, it is preferable for a person to light a light bulb in the hotel room or in the cruise ship room, such that they can fulfill the mitzvah in that way. If they have an incandescent light bulb, they can make a bracha ladlik ner shel Shabbat and then plug in or turn on the incandescent light bulb for the purpose of hadlakat nerot Shabbat. many nightlights still are incandescent bulbs, one with a tungsten filament that glows, and therefore the bracha can be recited. If nothing is available, at the very least, the other electric lights can be turned on, whether they're LEDs or CFLs. However, a bracha should not be recited. Nonetheless, it's appropriate to indicate that those electric lights are being turned on for the purpose of Shabbat, as opposed to other things. And you can make a declaration statement: I am now going to turn these lights on for the purpose of Hadlakat Neirot Shabbat, for the mitzvah of Neirot Shabbat, even though bracha cannot be recited in those circumstances. Have a wonderful week.